I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Adam Riches.
Comedian, character actor, ringmaster, town crier. Did someone say prick? I heard prick.
You did. You did.
Somebody said prick.
You said it and you read it before you said it.
I mean, this just says prick over and over again. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's me. I'm in the right room.
I appear to have some kind of a stroke whilst I was writing it. This is like just six pages of prick.
It's the first draft of The Shining.
It is. There's something not quite sinister enough about him just writing prick over and over.
Over
again.
And over.
Oh my God.
It would have chimed more with me as a story.
It would have done. Yeah. All work and no play. That sounds great. Sounds great to me.
Prick.
Prick. I'll start again in case that doesn't make it in.
Please. I
mean, comedian, character actor, ringmaster, town crier, blow hard, suck soft, spit and polish. Adam Riches, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I can put my audience's minds at ease before we start, Adam, by telling them that Adam won't be doing any audience participation tonight.
No.
Although for listeners of the podcast in their homes or in their car right now, I cannot promise anything.
Mm. Yes.
He may be in your home or in your car. Yeah. Outside of my domain, I have no control over Adam whatsoever.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
No, I will. I will go wherever there is work.
That's right. Wherever there is someone to abuse, that's it, basically, you will go there.
It's true.
There.
I like to touch.
That's right. You're a very hands-on performer.
It's a condition that I've managed to manufacture into a career.
That's right. Then, well done. Adam Riches.
Yes.
Many of our audience may be unaware that before your move to comedy, you were an actor in daytime dramas.
Indeed.
Such as Broadcastable Ailment Hospital. And
you saw that?
I did see Broadcastable Ailment Hospital. And The Murders That Won't Put You Off Your All-Brand Bureau.
When the call comes for All-Brand, as we like to call it,
yes.
It's very exciting for an actor to get that call. And you just can't resist.
I
ran to the set. Before I'd even got the audition, I just ran to the set.
And the auditions aren't out on the set,
They're not
they?
On the set. You learn that very early on
They're
in your career.
Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Looks keen.
Yeah. It was a great time. A really fun time. But again, the touching became a problem on set as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it really did.
I mean, actors are quite full-on. They love to hug. They love to kiss.
They do.
They love to sleep with one another. I mean, what's not to like?
Well, that's where I draw the line of the touching. Mm. There's no touching involved in that for me, the sleeping with each other. We must keep that separate. Touching on screen, in bed, no touching.
No touching whatsoever?
No touching whatsoever, no. Wow. I find that inevitably will lead to a kiss and tell. So I would rather not have any of the touching, and then there can be no kissing, so it's just telling.
There's just telling.
It's just a whole lot of telling.
In order to...
The myth spreads.
To fill the gap, as it were, they just have to sort of make some stuff
make
up.
Make it up, yeah.
Wow, so you don't get any satisfaction sexually, but a legend is born around you.
Exactly, and I think that was what first led me onto a career in comedy.
Wow.
As well, and I realised when people were talking about me, I realised that was something that I wanted to follow.
You were truly happy.
Yes, and frustrated sexually. I don't think the two can be mutually exclusive.
No, absolutely. I mean, they say behind the smile of any clown...
Is me.
Is Adam Riches. And I've never... truly understood that saying until tonight.
It's me.
If behind you just look the closely. Smile of a clown is Adam Richard.
Just zoom in. Just pinch your screen and open it up and there's me. I'm there.
Would you ever return to the procedural public servant genre or...
Well, it's whether it'll have me back.
Right. Did you burn a bridge or two on your way out?
That was one of the characters' storylines. He just went around burning bridges. And I took that literally as the method actor that I am.
You burnt their sets down. One take only.
Everything. I burnt the bridges of their noses. I burnt the bridges of their spectacles. Everything. Wow. It's all in with me. When you hire me, there's problems.
So you're very much a Day-Lewis figure.
Indeed. Indeed.
In the world
of
act.
Yes. Is that the chemist you're talking about?
Day-Lewis, the chemist. Yeah, the pharmacy. You're very much the... Is that a chain of actors?
Yes.
I mean, it's not Boots, but I'm sure there's another one.
There's lots of them, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you did eventually try your hand at funny business. Mm. With a show at the Edinburgh Festival. Now, as I've already mentioned, your shows are infamous for their reliance upon fear and hectoring. How did you hit upon that style?
It came when I realised the writing was clearly not strong enough. I realised I would have to do something else.
It's a strong reaction, though, isn't it?
It's important to make a good decision fast, and I made that decision halfway through one show when I realised there is nothing here. Touch someone quick.
And the audience, out of a sense of both excitement and fear,
yes,
laughed.
They did. And there's a market out there for hectoring. In all seriousness, I think as an actor, it's good to surround yourself with other actors who are good, who you can learn off. But occasionally, in that situation, you won't look as good on stage. Whereas if you surround yourself with members of the audience who have never acted before and indeed don't know the lines or where the sketch is going, you can't help but look fantastic on stage. Because I know everything that's coming next.
Absolutely.
And preparation is everything. And I learned that in Day-Lewis the Chemist.
You treat them like members of the... I mean, that is my relationship with any pharmacist I've been to. They seem to know everything about what's going on, and I'm standing there going, I don't know, it just hurts.
You know, life is interaction. Life is an interactive thing. You'll walk into a room, and then you're in someone else's sketch or house.
Yeah, that's right. You walk into a room, you may well be in someone else's house.
Exactly, and what are you going to do? You've got to think on your feet. You've got to improvise. Mm. You've got to get your way out of it, and then hopefully get clapped off as you leave.
Your shows, if you don't mind me saying, can actually be quite dangerous, can't they? I mean, one or two people have been maimed the stunts that you do. I mean, if you don't know Adam's shows, he often will take a member of the public out entirely against their will and just hurt them. I mean, sometimes with comedy in mind, sometimes just seemingly taking out some sort of primal anger on them.
There's some vengeance included,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wild... unfocused vengeance upon existence, is it? I mean,
there's a lot going on there.
Right.
You're
a complex beast.
You read the reviews and you try and dissect any kind of professional psychological help that you might gain from that.
And that is the principal use of critics.
I think so.
We tend to just do any old shit out in public, hoping that a critic will hit upon the exact thing that's wrong with us so we can sort it.
Exactly. And then give us a rating
Absolutely.
For that as well.
Which, because we crave it.
Yes.
Like, why won't our doctors say, you seriously need to cut down on your cholesterol, 4 stars? That's all we crave.
There's a lot that goes on with the audience, yeah. There's a lot of...
But you have put people in physical danger.
I have, but never more so than myself. And I think that's always the way that, unfortunately, it's panned out. I would always like to put someone else in more danger than me. But
well, absolutely. I think that's a survival instinct.
Exactly.
It?
And it's sink or swim on
a lot of your shows.
Yes. And ships.
Ships.
Yeah. And the similarities don't begin there.
Have you played the cruise ships at all? Or would
I
that
haven't.
Be too dangerous for the audience?
It would be an interesting career arc, I think.
Yes.
To end up on a
to
boat.
To start on land.
Yes.
In the middle, go on sea.
Yes.
And end in the stars.
It's worth jotting down.
I think so.
And,
it's a rough idea.
Yes.
But, you know, there's not a great number of people in the stars yet, but you could be an early adopter, you know.
You could take it anywhere. you could take audience interaction anywhere, I believe. I
think anywhere there's people, right?
Anywhere there's people, they are the fundamental aspect, which was difficult in the beginning because there weren't people.
No, at home or
and anywhere
in a lift.
Anywhere.
There were no people at the
not even
well, the
in
very
my mind.
Beginning. The very beginning, there were no people. I can't fault you.
You've
on
studied
that
your scriptures.
Yeah, I have. You I have studied them. In the beginning, there was nothing,
and that was a problem for audience interaction right from the very start. You've no idea how long that snake was waiting.
That's right. Come on, guys. I really want to touch someone.
I've even got a prop.
Now, if you permit me, I'd like to run through some of your more infamous characters from your stage show.
Yes.
And if you could talk us through them, and maybe even we could talk to a few of them.
You'd like to hear?
I'd love to talk to them if that would, if you would.
Of course, yeah.
Unless you have a lengthy process that we don't have the time to go through.
I do, but you can edit this, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's roughly 45 minutes per accent.
Fine, then we'll just do 8 or 9. So, if we could start back with your first show, my favourite character of the whole thing.
I know where you're going with this.
Rex Awesome.
Yes. Rex Awesome, the alpha male.
That's right, Rex Awesome, the alpha male.
Who spoke loudly.
He did.
Shouted
at people.
Threw his weight around the room.
And would become the template for all of your later characters.
Well, you hit upon a winning formula.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you have limited range. It's whichever way you like to see.
People don't need to know which one it is. It's a winning formula. That's all they need to know.
Yes.
So, yeah. Rex Awesome.
Rex Awesome.
Are you there?
I'm here, David. I.
Goosebumps. I haven't done Rex since my last gig when he was called Frank. Frank Fantastic.
Oh, wow. Oh, you've adapted Rex, have you, for the modern audience?
For the people that haven't seen Rex.
Right.
Here's Frank.
Yes. So, Rex, what's it like being on a podcast?
Well, it's limiting, to say the least. But why bother asking me when I can just grab this audience member here?
Oh, no, we're not going to go there. You're right.
That's just generally the way that the routine goes.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, maybe we should move swiftly through them then. I mean,
sure. The audience.
No. through your memorable characters. If that's right. The Keymaster, can we get a blast
the
of the Keymaster?
Oh, yes. Hello, everyone.
Oh, God. It's great to be in
back.
His presence again.
Goosebumps, am I right? But don't ask me. Let's ask this audience.
No, we don't have time for that. Just a few more, because I can see where this is going. Todd Dog. Everyone remembers Todd Dog, right?
Todd was harder because it was the same accent, but he was a dog.
Right.
So I had to master Northern Dog.
It's incredible.
And then he'd just extend a paw.
That's right. And lead an audience member onto the stage.
Yes.
And immediately stop them dead to do a trembling-legged shit upon the stage. And that's what I remember anyway.
You saw that gig?
I saw that gig. Oh, of course, yes.
That was totally unscripted.
Yeah, because I was surprised.
It just came to me in the moment.
When I read the reviews and they didn't mention it.
Well, that's thoroughly good PR on my part.
PR.
But you can't.
Well done.
I learned very early on that you just cannot impromptuly shit on the stage. You can have it planned, you can have it scripted.
Absolutely.
And you can advertise it, but you just can't.
You can't do
you
that.
You can't just let
without
go.
Great PR.
Without great PR.
Cybill Shepherd?
Yes, always. Yes.
Can we get a blast of Cybill Shepherd?
It's actually pronounced Civil Shepherd.
Is it? Cybill Shepherd.
She was my farmer lawyer.
I loved it.
Farmers are wholly unrepresented on the comedy scene, I found for a while.
I think so. And nobody ever does a Cornish accent or anything
like that. No one's thought to go down there.
No one's thought to do a yokel of some kind.
And I certainly didn't with this character either.
No, you didn't.
I stayed as north as I could.
As northern as you possibly could for Cybill Shepherd.
Cybill Shepherd.
Now, in 2011, all of your dreams came true.
Oh,
and you won the Approval of 12 Strangers Award. The highest accolade Edinburgh has to offer.
The competition that you never enter but get told you've lost.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Did that change everything for you?
It changed everything. Yeah, it really did.
Everything?
It changed everything, yeah.
You no longer slept at night, had breakfast in the morning, you no longer had legs.
I was happy to touch people in bed.
Wow.
Everything.
What a change.
Just
what
from and it happened the second they read my name from the envelope. Instantly, I could just feel, I'm going to touch someone tonight.
Wow.
I'm going to go there.
You're going to...
This has given me that courage.
And did you?
No, it doesn't open up all doors.
No, just the desire to do things.
The desire to do things.
That's what awards tend to do. They open up the desire to do things, but no actual practical change in your career or life.
Is indeed, that, yeah. Right. And, it's less that you win something as well. It's more that everyone else lost. I think that's always the way that you have to look at these things when you collect it. You can't let it go to your head in that regard. You just have to accept it.
It's not the winning, it's that everybody else took part.
Yes, exactly. Yes. That's difficult because you then have 36 hours of walking around that same city with people that didn't win.
What happened once the 36 hours were up?
Everybody runs for a train.
Is that right?
Yeah, but again, I won that as well. I'd booked in advance.
Well done. Well done.
It was the train line.
I knew it.
It was the train, yeah. And I was in the same carriage as the people that gave me the award. They'd taken over the train as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since the award, you've been hoovering up discarded tertiary roles on TV and film, like some sort of big-faced bottom feeder. Now, from reality show Drunk Mystery,
yes,
where drunk comedians are given jurisdiction to try and solve real crimes, to beloved kids show Horrible Hysterectomies. Now, if I could start with Drunk Mystery, what was it like being given jurisdiction over historic crime, unsolved crimes, that you had 24 hours to solve?
It's a huge honour.
Whilst hammered. I mean, you were wasted on
Thank
that
you.
Show. Yeah.
Thank you. It was an honour to be involved in it.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Right, of course.
You're following in the footsteps of some truly terrific killers.
Absolutely.
On that show, who have evaded the law for so long.
That's right. Who can forget, though, the famous pilot episode where Josh Widdicombe finally worked out who Jack the Ripper was? Do you remember that one?
I do.
And
I
he had had so many baby shams. It was ridiculous.
Who was it that he said it was in the end?
It was John Richardson, I think, in the end, didn't he? And they put him down. They put him down. He's still in prison now, I think. And if we could go on to the second of the shows.
HH.
Horrible Hysterectomies.
Indeed.
What is it, do you think, that children find so hypnotic about the surgical removal of a woman's uterus?
I think, in all honesty, it's because it's the puppetry involved.
Right, yes.
I think it's because they have that very, very cute little animal.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Which does all of the surgery.
All of
involved.
The surgery.
Yeah.
And its hands are on pipe cleaners, you know, it can barely pick up the scalpel.
And also, what's amazing, like, to give you a peek behind the curtain, is that the operators are
which
actually...
Which curtain?
The curtain...
the surgical curtain. Oh, thank God.
the operators are actually underneath.
Right.
So they cannot see what they are doing at all.
Right, yes.
So whereas you may be fooled to think that the animal, because of its beaded eyes, knows exactly where it's aiming.
They seem to focus in like a laser, those beaded eyes. But yes. You're saying those are just beads?
They're just beads.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're just not beads. Cameras or anything. Those are beads.
They're just beads, yeah. And what makes it slightly uncomfortable on set is that while this incredibly difficult and detailed procedure is going on, they're laughing on the floor underneath.
They find
the whole thing hysterical. They bring their kids on to see and meet the rat or whatever it is.
It's a rat. I think it's a rat. Yes, it's a rat that does the horrible hysterectomy.
Is it a dog? Is it a rat dog?
It's a dog rat.
It's a dog.
Is it a capybara, maybe?
I think it's a capybara. It's a tapir.
Tapir.
It's a tapir,
yes,
doing it. Yeah.
Dog
it's
rat.
Enormous. There's
it's
seven enormous people.
Thing.
It's like Jabba.
It is
There's
like
seven
Jabba.
People operating it.
It laughs like Jabba as well, doesn't it? Well,
yeah.
It does it. With its beady bead eyes doing hysterectomies. I mean, but it's educational, and that's what people like about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Adam Riches. I know you well enough to know that you will never be happy until you have... No, that wasn't the end of the sentence. That wasn't the end of the sentence. What a cynical bunch you are. I know you well enough to know you will never be happy until you have conquered Hollywood.
Thank you.
Now, would you say you're on some kind of a quest?
I believe so. I think it's the natural place for us all to head to as actors. The top of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
The CV is strong. The range is limited.
Mm-hmm. And Hollywood loves that.
Loves that.
Loves
and
it.
The flights are cheap
they
at
are.
Certain points of the year. If
Absolutely.
You can time your arrival to the the seasons of the airline.
And that really is the hardest part about getting in a People major don't. Hollywood film, is timing your flight correctly.
It's the big misconception about pilot season.
That's right. It's attaching yourself to the correct pilot
at the
to get you
time.
There at the exact beginning of filming. Because if you're
yes.
there too early, they don't want to pay for your hotel.
Exactly.
And if you're there too late, they've already cast somebody else.
And so as you know, in my youth, I would run to the sets before the auditions would happen.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't do that. I just ended up wet. And that was not
well,
something
course,
that I wanted.
Because of, you know, the ocean.
It's a tricky career that you have to navigate.
So what role in Hollywood do you have your eye on?
It would have to be Bond.
Right.
I think that's everybody's dream, to get Bond. And at the age that I'm at now, this
James
will probably...
Bond?
Yes. Yes,
Good.
James Bond.
Good. Just
yes.
to be clear.
I would like to possibly play him when he was older. I think that would
older
be...
Older than you?
Older than everyone.
Older than all of the Bonds or everyone? Everyone. The oldest man on earth, what James Bond.
Yeah, I would like to watch that film.
That would
that
be
film.
Interesting. That would
I would
be
watch
incredible.
That.
A man holding on to not only the Cold War, but to his own life as he desperately tries to be relevant as the oldest man on earth. As everyone who sees him goes, oh, hello, I recognise you from the Guinness Book of Records.
And,
and holds him by the arm. He's like, no, I have to jump on a train.
Well, you embrace the age. You wouldn't have it like they did when he was old, but they were pretending he was young and no one
right.
could see it. He would need help driving.
Absolutely.
He would need help getting dressed in the morning.
I mean, scene one, they take his licence to drive off him. They're just like, you are too dangerous in that day.
It would follow his day, so scene one would actually be draining his catheter.
Right.
That would be the first thing.
Would
we'd
Miss
be
Moneypenny
doing.
Have to do that?
Or? Oh, she's dead.
She's long
she's
dead.
It's gone.
Long dead.
Like I said, he's older than everyone.
He's older than everyone. So Moneypenny's dead. M is dead.
I'm
Q
not even
is
sure
dead.
There's a mission to be had. The mission might just be surviving the day.
Will Spectre get involved?
I think the enemy might need only be something as simple as the staircase.
And that'll sustain 90 That's, minutes. Do you think?
Yes.
You've said you have your eye on the role of Bond.
Mm.
What role do you have your other eye on?
I think I could have my own animated series.
Yes? A sort of a fun-loving animal of some kind, or maybe a utensil along the Pixar kind of route.
Ooh.
Maybe you're a broth.
Oh!
A broth that just wants to be... cold.
I would watch a show about a broth.
A TV show. You think it'll run and run rather than a one-off feature film?
Oh, I think it could be a feature.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it would be a Pixar
broth.
A Pixar broth.
Broth.
Yeah. Kids would love that.
Kids love broth.
Kids.
It sells itself. People go, mommy, broth.
And also the merchandise that you could get from it as well.
Because you could sell broth.
You would have broth, yeah. And that would they wouldn't be a firm plush. We would just go with the liquid.
Absolutely. And you know what's great about broth?
It burns.
It burns, right? If you with cars.
Yes.
Or toys.
Yes.
Or monsters. They're all pretty permanent. But broth.
Yeah.
You buy it, you drink it, or eat it. The jury is still out on that one. What's it been like riding the Adam Riches train all these years? Do you want to get off?
It's hard to know when I actually got on.
Right.
I think I was born.
You're born on the train.
Born in the carriage. Yeah, which is something they do write on the Virgin sign that they don't like to happen in the toilet.
They do not like that.
They don't like births.
Do not give birth in our toilet. It takes days. We have other passengers.
It's a train that I think keeps moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's a train that I think keeps evolving.
Evolving?
Getting passengers.
Do you move up and down the train, do you think? Have you ever been sick in one of the vestibule bins?
I haven't. But I understand people that have ridden the train, part of the journey with me, have.
How sad. How sad to think people are riding the Adam Riches train and being sick in the vestibule ends.
There's carriages for plenty. And no cleaner as yet.
Have any of your dreams been discarded along the way on this journey of yours on a train?
It's difficult because dreams change over time.
What was your earliest dream, do you think?
My earliest dream was to do this for a living. I always wanted
this
to do
podcast.
This podcast, yeah.
For a living?
No.
I have bad news for you.
No, my dreams are too difficult to interpret, so I would never ever follow any of those. I've been killed in some of them.
You should never follow your actual dreams. I mean, it's very much a misnomer, isn't it, that people say follow your dreams, and you just go, well, that would be absolutely terrifying, you know. I was my childhood self. I was in a swimming pool full of dogs, and then scissors were coming out of the sky. They were big, big red scissors, and all the rabbits in dresses were laughing. I don't know how to realise that, Adam.
But apparently it means you're about to come into money.
Is that right?
Yes.
Right, well, I should do that. I've got £2 in my pocket. And the rest of the evening.
Following dreams is hard.
Yeah, it is hard, isn't it?
It is hard.
Many people say that comedy is a young man's game.
Mm.
Which young man specifically do you think that is?
Oh, it could be any one of 10.
10 who are allowed on television.
There's 10 that you see, all with various degrees of hair.
Mm.
And I think they're all, it's all their game.
Why did they all study hair at university?
Well, I mean, it's through clearing. It's whatever comes up.
That's right. You apply for archaeology, you get offered hair.
Hair, yeah.
Go fuck it.
And you just have to weigh it up.
I'll get a degree in hair.
Yes. Hair, it seems to be a huge part of comedy, I think.
Mm.
Young person's comedy.
Certainly part of the posters.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's about a third.
The start, and you can see when people are successful, their hair changes.
Is that right?
I've always believed that, yeah.
Okay, so
you can tell.
Who do you think has... let's think of someone particularly hirsute. Tim Minchin, did his hair change after success?
Yes.
So what was it like before?
It was, well...
It's now sort of a ginger rag-headed Peter.
Yes. Before, it was just a really tight little bob.
He was probably trying to emulate the Rachel from Friends and just got it slightly wrong.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, his has changed.
Right.
Has yours changed over the years?
Well, I've not yet met success, so I'm looking forward to the hair changing.
There was that time when you went with a parting.
That's right.
I believe.
That was a success of sorts, but I feel it didn't get the accolades it deserved. finally, if you could give a young comedian one piece of advice, what would it be?
It would be employ me. Please, I'd be polite about it. I think that's probably going to stand them in great stead.
You're imagining meeting this young comedian sort of
abducting,
on the
meeting,
somewhere.
Grabbing, any one of them.
On a high street somewhere.
Yes.
You're sat on the pavement.
Yes.
They're walking past.
They ask, could I get some advice? And my advice to them is, yes, my son, employ me.
To which they would hopefully say,
yes. I mean, you would think they would say no.
If someone said, employ me, and I just went, yes, I would worry they're not being sincere.
Well, you see, it's that fear that's held you back,
David.
I
think it is.
You need to follow down that
path. I figured I should get that side parting. When that door is open. That was really good.
You went with two, though. That was
two
always
side
confusing.
Which arguably, so confusing. What even is that?
You did a wonderful show.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. In a rare moment of honesty between the two of us.
Yes.
I really did enjoy your character show.
Employ me. Adam Richards, thank you for letting me inside you. Adam Richards.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. For information about upcoming recordings, please subscribe to my newsletter at MrDavidReed.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.